Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Paul has had this dissertation with us and regarding justification. And he has put together an eloquent argument for the first five chapters, showing us that we are not righteous. We're all sinners, and we come short of the glory of God. But then he turns and says, but we have been justified. And we spent some time on the justification. What we're going to see this morning is what happens after justification. We know in the order of salvation, it's sanctification. And I'm going to show through the arguments that Paul put forward what to do, what you need to do. I guess I really had to theme it. What do you do when you've been justified? The authors have suggested that in our title that you're dead to sin and you're alive in Christ. So if you're dead to sin, you're alive in Christ. In verse 1 through 14, we find exactly what we need to do, the state we need to be in, when we are positionally sanctified and positionally and practically sanctified. This is what we do. This is what you've been justified. And so in verses 1 through 14, there's an acrostic. And years ago, I heard this preach and didn't understand it. And subsequently thereafter, year so after, I got the meat of it. And now here some years later, I get a chance to look at it again. There is a word in English language that would describe what we do if we're dead to sin and alive in Christ. The word is, you guys ready? Take cry. And it's spelled K-R-Y. Ah, not C-R-Y, K-R-Y, Minister Brown. K-R-Y, cry. Cry is a Norwegian word that's been translated into the English, which means hearty or healthy. If you're dead to sin and alive in Christ, you ought to be healthy. And what verses 1 through 14 tell us is how to do that. And Paul spends 10 verses on the first letter of that acrostic cry, the K. K. Come with me. Let me show you. Sister Vanessa, if you and Sister Lovelace would unmute, please. Sister Vanessa, could you read verses? Before we always, we got to have this in context, right? So, Minister Brown, pull out your Bible, go to the last verses in chapter 5, verse 20, 21. But Sister Vanessa is going to tell us how Paul answers the question that has been asked in the previous chapter. Paul asked a question. Minister Brown, what was that question in verse 21, 22, somewhere along in there? What did he ask? Mr. Brown, are you there? I don't.
You're on mute, Miss Harriet.
Okay, I got it. Okay, what verse you want me to read?
The last two verses of the chapter, 21, 22, somewhere like that.
Moreover, in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Ooh,
that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Sister Vanessa, verse 1.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Paul says, okay, if the more you sin, the more grace you get, should we just then go on sinning? Sister Vanessa?
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Perish the thought. Dismiss it from your mind. That just because God is a God of grace, God is good and God is great and God is grace dispensing, does not give us the license to go on sinning. Paul says, that's a fallacious argument. That doesn't even make sense. He says, dismiss it from your thought. He says in verse 3, if you really want to know what folk who have been justified, folk who trust that God has died on a cross for their raggedy sins, for their raggedy lives, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love for us in that while we were yet sinner, Christ died for us. He says, if you're really going to accept that justification and then be sanctified, here's the first thing you do. Sister Vanessa, verse 3, I'll let you give me the first K.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Paul says you gotta know. Mm-hmm. You've gotta know that you have been baptized into Jesus Christ in his death. That baptism is not water baptism. That baptism is identification. The justification, the sanctification that you are now living, now that you have been justified, is positional. Christ looks at you. God looks at you as if though you had never sinned. And then he says, when Christ died, you were identified with that death. Oh, Sister Vanessa, verse 4.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
He says, if you were baptized, if you were buried with him in baptism unto death, then you will be raised up or you will be resurrected with him. You have been resurrected with him. In other words, what Paul is setting up here and will later throughout Ephesians and 1 Corinthians further explain is that when the sinner, the unsaved sinner is justified by his faith in the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, that sinner was identified in Christ, baptized in Christ, and on the cross. In other words, he says it later on, I think over in Galatians, Minister Brown, where he says, we were crucified with Christ, yet we live. It says that the old man died positionally. It's positional. Therefore, your sanctification is positional. He says, and you got to know this. You've got to know this with certainty. that you were baptized in Christ, you were identified in Christ. The water didn't make you identify with him. The water was an outward expression of what happened on the inside. He's here talking about identification. Sister Vanessa?
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Just like Christ died on the cross, there is a death that comes to the old man, was crucified with him. And just as he died on that cross, we get up with him. Paul is saying to each and every one of us that has been saved, you got to know this. You've got to know. Kay, you've got to know. Not think, not suppose, not hope, but you got to know this. Because positionally, now, because what someone's going to say, well, wait a minute. If the old man was dead, how can there be any sin? The old man was paralyzed, and we'll see this later on. The old man is paralyzed if you identify in Christ. One of our dear belated sisters used to always say, Sister Harriet, is that you have been identified with Christ. That's the ID card that you have been given. But then a lot of folk don't act like the ID card that they hold. Like and for example, if you've been given a driver's license, a Texas driver's license, some of y'all don't drive like you've been given that you're an authorized driver. You know, some of you have been given a military ID card, but there are those occasions where you don't act very militarily. But you still have that card. It still makes you a military member. It still makes you a driver. Paul says this is what you've got to know about positional sanctification, is that God is not how the world looks on your justification or salvation or sanctification. It's how God sees it. And how God sees it is how you ought to see it. You got to know it. You've got to see it. You got to perceive it. You've got to know it. What else do I have to know, Sister Vanessa? Verse 6.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Ain't that what I just told you? Mm-hmm. See, y'all think I'm making this up. No, I'm not a genius. I'm not a prophet. I'm foretelling, though, that he says, you've got to know that you are dual natured. Once you get saved, once you have been justified, Sister Hollis, you're dual natured. That means that the old man is still there, but the old man was put to death so that sin would not be eliminated, obliterated in this life as long as you live. But that, in other words, she would also says that you sin, but you sin less. You're not sinless, but you sin less than you used to. Yeah. And he says that sin will be there. But Christ died on the cross so that it wouldn't have power. In other words, remember those of you who went through basic doctrine and those of you who received Sister Burris, you can write these notes, that there's an order to salvation. You have been saved. You are being saved. You have been saved. That's justification. You're being saved. That's sanctification. And in that sanctification, it is saving you from the power. In other words, sin doesn't dominate your life. The person who has been identified with Christ, who has been baptized in Christ, should sin less. You shouldn't be sinning the way that you used to sin. Oh, what? Watch me. Verse seven, if you would.
For he that is dead is freed from sin.
In other words, he that is the old man should not be dominating this new man. The old nature should not be dominating the new nature. You're free from that. You. In other words, you're positionally free. Have you ever heard of a folk that even in the slave plantation, there were some folk that would not leave even after they were declared free? Can you imagine someone who suffered under slavery? Then when they came in, it was announced, you're free, and they said, no, we ain't going nowhere. Paul says, you're free. And just because you don't move from where you are doesn't mean that you're free. But the issue is, you ought to move in freedom in your new nature. And Paul is saying all of this is couched under that first K. You got to know this. He says in verse 8, here's what he says, Sister Vanessa. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. How are we going to be dead and live at the same time? Except that death be positional, that living now. See, once you get saved, a lot of folk believe, Sister Mills, that just because you get saved, oh, I got it made. I am perfected. As a matter of fact, there was a very prominent, I'll say religion, to be nice, but Deacon Tribble and my 105 instructors might say cults, who believed that once you accepted Christ, you were made perfect. You did no sin. Paul here is saying, you ought to know better. If you're going to be dead to sin and live in Christ, you ought to cry every day. And that first cry, since cry begins with K, you got to know it. You got to know what it means to be justified. You got to know what it means to be sanctified. Amen. He says, but if you're free, you ought to act free. If you're dead to sin and you're alive in Christ, you ought to act like you're alive in Christ. That should be your daily goal. Mm-hmm. Sister Vanessa, can you give me another K in verse 9?
Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death had no more domination over him.
Dominion, uh-huh. In other words, death doesn't dominate you. I mean, sin doesn't dominate you now. Hey, how are you going to be say that you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're still acting like a spiritual banshee? You're still out there in the world. You're still doing exactly what the world is doing. Well, it doesn't negate the fact if your justification, if your salvation, we're not talking about what people think. We're thinking of, I told you, it's justification, sanctification, salvation is from God's viewpoint. It's what God says about it. Yeah. And some folk will say, well, you know, you don't act saved. Well, what does that mean? See, because unless you go to the scriptures and show what saved sinners act like, you can't be saying who's acting like. But we know one thing, sin doesn't dominate your life. Sin doesn't have dominion because in positional sanctification, you are being saved every day from the power of sin. In other words, the sins that beset you yesterday shouldn't be catching up with you today. Oh, y'all. Oh, okay. Sister Stallings, they mad with me. They mad with me this morning. I'm telling you. I mean, they said if you're doing the same old thing, expecting the same result, that's insanity. So so the word of God is true. You're a fool if you think that, you know, you can go on living this life outside of Christ, seeing that you have been identified with Christ, positionally you are in Christ, you were buried with him, you are raised with him positionally, and you're acting like this? Let me tell you what that means, Brother Key. Let me tell you what that means. That means that you were guilty. Yeah. That you were guilty. The cop stopped you on the side of the road. He clocked you at 105 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. He walked up to your car, took your ID, looked at your insurance, and said, "Have a good day." That's called justification. Now, after justification, you have been caught speeding. Ethel, Sister Ethel, wait a minute. You've been caught speeding 105 miles an hour. The man just said, "Have a good day." And you know what Bobby Key did? He threw that car down in gear, sped off, and started running at 110 miles an hour. That's a man that was guilty and is still acting guilty. But the cops saw him speed off again. "That's my beloved son, whom I've justified, who I put my reputation online for." That's what happens when saved folk act unsaved. They act as if though they haven't cried. And we just doing the note. So, Sister Vanessa, I think you've done an excellent job. Take us to verse 10. And I think we will have our first letter. K, well done. Note. K-N-O-W. You got to know this stuff, folk, because otherwise the devil will make a fool out of you. Mm. Sister Vanessa?
Okay. "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God."
In other words, Christ doesn't have to keep getting up on the cross for you. He died once so that you and I could live forever. Christ died on the cross, Sister Hollis, so that you and I would only have to die once. Okay. Sister Lovelace, I think I called on you. I need you to give me my next letter. And it's found in verse 11, if we're going to spell cry. Verse 11. Let's see.
"Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Do I see my letter? Oh, yeah, there it is. Buried behind likewise. He says, not only do you need to know, you need to reckon. And that reckon is not supposition. That reckon is that you need to count it. You need to trust it. See, to say you know something can be demonstrated whether or not you trust it. And here Paul says, I need you to all know all the things that I previously said, but know also within yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. You've got to trust that what Christ did on the cross secured your sanctification, secures your justification, will secure your glorification. He says, you've got to count it. You got to count on it. You got to trust it. Verse 12, Sister Lovelace.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof.
He says, you got a brand new nature. Are you going to smut it? It's like years ago, someone famous who remain unnamed now because it's further actions. But he says that, imagine your most favorite meal. Can you guys just picture it? I know it's breakfast time, but imagine your favorite meal, something that you can always eat. So, Mr. Brown, something you can always eat. And I'm not talking about chicken either, but I'm talking about your favorite meal. I'm talking about your favorite meal. You know, the preachers, they like chicken. So, you know, your favorite meal. Now, imagine a dump, a trash can lid that's smelly and got all that junk on it, but your favorite meal is on that junk. That's what Paul is saying here. Why would you take a sanctified body and then put all this junk on it? Why would you take this sanctified body and present it on a dirty pallet? Why would you take your most favorite food and then present it on the filthiest of conditions? Oh, thank you, Sister Mills. Bless you. See, wait. Paul says, you've got to trust what God has done for you. Is what you know. What you know is what you trust. You know that you were baptized in Christ. You know that you were buried with Christ. You know that you were united in Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. You were united. It says, why would you go on sinning then? Why would you put a smelly body in clean clothes? Oh, y'all. Oh, it brings back some memories, you know, down there and, you know, raising boys. My grandma would say, wait a minute, where you think you're going? You better get in there and hit that water and put on no clean clothes, no dirty body. Get out there playing basketball. Nah, you going to church, but you're going to shower too. You're going to bathe. That's what Paul is saying. He says, what you know, you've been taught better. He says, what you know, you can always count on. What you know, you can always count on. And Paul says, if you just know this, he says, you can trust that. He says, we got our R. He says, and then Sister Lovelace says in verse 12 that let us not sin, therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't do anything because you're not trusting. If you know something, if you know better, they say you would do better. That's what I'm told. Sister Lovelace, give us our last letter. In order to get us to spell this word here. Verse 13 says what?
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
God counted you as righteous. In verse 13 through 14, we have spent verses 1 through 12 dealing with what we call positional sanctification. But 13 and 14, Sister Brenda, that's practical sanctification. That's where the rubber meets the road. Paul says here, don't take your body and any of its members and subject it to unrighteousness. But instead, how you do it is that you cry, you know, you reckon, and then you yield. And that word yield there is the same word that you'll find over in Romans where it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, present on a day-to-day basis in the sanctification process, you ought to say, Lord, here I am. I'm yielded totally to you. And what Paul is telling us here is that if you yield your members, if you yield this mortal body every day, if you present this body to Christ, that keeps you from presenting it to sin. Paul says that all of us, if we are to be dead to sin and alive in Christ, we ought to present our bodies, just as he would tell the Corinthians, a living sacrifice, a righteous sacrifice. God counts us as righteous. We ought to live righteously to the best of our ability. But I tell you, for all those folk who think they can be perfect, you will sin. But God has provided an avenue even for that. You don't go on sinning. Remember, Vanessa, when she was giving us our K, says that knowing that if we be dead in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. In other words, why would you go on acting dead if you are alive? Why would you go on doing deadly activity if you know you're alive? In this life, you're going to make some mistakes, but make them a mistake and not something that is blatant. You know, those sins of omission and commission. And then what about those sins of just of the will? See, your will is yielded if you're alive in Christ. So, verse 14, then we can go to church. Verse 14 says what?
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Sin has no business dominating the life of Christians. That's why you can't accept any and everything in the church, folks. I mean, you got folk coming up talking about they saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. They drink more skull than you do. They snort more cocaine than you do. They got more lascivious living than anybody in the church. And they talk, and you know, and they do. That's the leader. We ain't talking about the pew. Come on now. God says through his word here, he says, if you really understand justification and salvation and sanctification, he says, you got to know this word. You got to know that Christ died for all your sins. Then he says, you got to trust. You got to count on it. And he says, if you know this word, and you're trusting this word, you're trusting in what Christ did for each and every one of us, he says, it becomes easier day by day to yield your body to him. There's a little illustration that I show in my 201 class, and it's about tithing. And you know, so now how did Brother Sneeze slip tithing in here on us? Well, it's about giving, tithing. And what it is a cartoon, Sister Mills. And what it is, in the first frame, you see this man. The preacher's holding his hand up, and I baptize you in the name of the Father and name of the Son, and baptize me, sir. And then you see another frame of him going down. And then in the third frame, Bobby, you know what you see? He's got his wallet full of money held up out of the water. In other words, baptize me, just don't baptize my money. And evidently, some Christians believe that you can be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, united in Christ, and still hold your life up above the water. Paul says, no. If you're going to be, if you truly are saved, and he says, God is that judge. He says, God has justified you, treated you. In other words, he has saved you from the penalty of sin. He is sanctifying you on a daily basis. That sanctification is both positional and it's practical. It's how God sees it and how we ought to act while going through sanctification. And he says, then there ought to be some activity in the sanctification process. We ought to be yielding our bodies. We need to yield our minds. We need to yield our, we need to be totally submitted to Jesus Christ because of what we know, because of what we trust, and because of what we yield. That's it. That's all I have for you today. We'll see you guys in church later on. As I stated earlier, Sister John Louie, you've got about 5 pages of notes, but you still have to come to class tomorrow. Sister Burris, you still have to come to class. You got your first session of the Order of Ordo Salutis. Anybody got any questions or comments as we go? Anybody got a question or comment for me? Anything you didn't understand, send a note. If you don't, because you got to know this and you got to trust this, and then you got to do what the Word of God says. See you guys later.